Hello and welcome to the Cloud Solution Architect podcast, where we talk to Azure architects from across the globe and discuss interesting and creative Azure solutions. This is your host, Anand Kumar. I work as a Cloud Solution Architect for Microsoft in the New York City region. For more Cloud Solution Architect podcast episodes, animated Azure videos, and simplified how-to content articles on Azure, please check out www.azuremonk.com. That's www.azuremonk.com. In this episode, we have with us Abhijit Jala, or as we like to call him, AJ. AJ works as a cloud solution architect in the ISV, or independent software vendor space. He talks about how he has the coolest job, since he has to solve a business problem only once, but can be reused many number of times. We talk about how he solved the business problem of making a parking gate, quote-unquote, smart, using Azure and its IoT capabilities. He also talks about how having a breadth of technical experiences helps him solve business problems in his industry verticals. All this and more. Without further ado, let's get to the show. AJ, welcome to the show. Great to have you.
Absolutely. Great to have you as well. Great to be here.
Awesome. AJ, before we get started, I wanted to ask you about your journey towards Azure and how you got to where you are today. And I know you've had experiences working with Oracle Cloud and, you know, other cloud vendors as well. So what was your journey like and how did you get to this particular role?
Absolutely. Thanks, Anand. So my journey with Azure actually started, my day one was when I joined Microsoft. I had no prior Azure knowledge or expertise. I was with Oracle. I was working on Oracle Cloud and AWS, and then I interviewed with Microsoft, and that's when the journey started.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
After joining Microsoft, you know, I spent a lot of time for 6 to 8 months to kind of do the whole translation. Every architect goes through that, right? Whatever they know, how do you convert that to in the world of Azure? Mm-hmm. And learning all the stuff Azure has to offer. So my first 6 to 8 months were very greenfield. I'm sure a lot of folks out there relate to it as well. Mm-hmm. But yeah, to answer your question, I was pretty new to Azure before joining Microsoft.
Awesome. So within Azure, right, so once you join the cloud solution architect role, I know you work with a pretty unique set of customers. So can you give us a little bit of background about the kind of work that you do and the area that you specialize in?
Yeah, absolutely. So I tend to believe that I have the coolest job out there in the solutions architect, umbrella, as well as industry solutions out there, simply because I work with ISVs who are developing some cool, awesome technology, right? So I work with anywhere from a startup who's creating and scaling their solution on Azure, thinking about a new idea, how do you implement that, to, you know, folks who have already implemented an enterprise-grade solution on-prem and moving that to Azure. And the reason why I think it's coolest job is, you help address a solution one time, mm-hmm. and these partners essentially take that to hundreds and thousands of customers, right? So the scale of your work suddenly amplifies from that one workload or one problem you have helped an ISV partner solve. And they can take that and make it a very repeatable SaaS implementation and then scale it to thousands of customers.
Awesome. That's really cool. And I know for sure of all the people I've asked this question to, like you said, my guess is you'll probably have the most interesting answer to this question. But considering the nature of your role, what's the most interesting Azure project that you've worked on or an Azure project that you're really proud about and has solved a business problem? I'm sure you have many, but the top few.
Yeah, so one of the things which is, which is pretty cool, and one of the things that I always think about, it's a long lasting, memory, is a practical implication that of a project that I work with the partner. So I'm not going to talk about the customer name or the partner name, but essentially the problem that we're trying to solve is how do you actually have a parking gates, right? Parking is a big challenge for the cities, right? A lot of these parking, companies, as well as this whole industry, is being disrupted by things around autonomous cars, as well as cities trying to, tackle congestion challenges. So one of our customers, who is a leader in parking management, it's a Japanese company, but they are a leader in the US as well. Mm-hmm. They came up with a very interesting problem. They're like, we would like our gates to be intelligent, our kiosks to be intelligent, and we want to do a dynamic fare-based pricing, right? So depending on the time of the day, depending on different, you know, the parameters and different things which are happening in the city, we would like our parking to be intelligent. We would like to adopt coolest technology, and we would all like that to be on the cloud. Now the challenge is, you know, some of these parkings that they were, you know, they actually brought to us as a POC, they were 5-level underground parkings, and some of these did not actually have an internet connectivity. So we had to design a solution which worked completely seamless with fully connected parking gateway, right? Think of them as the cashier or the person who's sitting on the gate when you enter a parking, all the way down to the 5th level under, which is completely disconnected. So we leveraged Azure IoT, as you can imagine, but we also had to have several workarounds in place for the disconnected scenario, right? How do we sync up, especially when it comes to the fare management side of things, those kiosks, as well as the gates, including those sensors, which provides parking space availability. We had to redesign and, you know, kind of push the boundary of the solution. One of the things that I also mentioned is this is back a couple years ago when our IoT solution were not as matured as they are today. So I'd say that's definitely one of the solutions that solved a business problem. It's already being offered in multiple cities. One of them is in California, but it's definitely one of those situations where we had to push the boundary of our traditional thinking as well as the product capability.
That's awesome. So you did mention that, you know, the nature of the customers is that you solve a business problem once and it can be reused multiple times, right? And you said that, you know, you were constrained a couple of years back with the technological limitations that you had at that point of time, and a lot has changed and matured over the period of time. So if you had to redo this, right, like, do you go back to the customer and then change it at the central place once, the IP, and then make sure that all new deployments have this new added features added on, or how does that work?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And I think that's always a dilemma, right? At what point in time do we actually go back and redo? Because some of the decisions that we made, it could be, you know, done in a much more elegant way. I'm sure, you know, you are dealing with that. I'm sure everybody in the technology world, especially in the Azure world, is dealing with that. We have had conversations with the customer. At this point, they just don't see the need to go back and revisit. They feel that they have addressed the solution. Significant engineering time has been spent on this. Mm-hmm. However, just specifically drilling down into IoT and what they are specifically very interested in is the marketplace adoption of Azure IoT. And we did not have many hardware partners part of our program 2 years ago, right? And they missed kind of that joint design, some of the choices of their sensors and their hardware that they end up choosing, especially the cameras vendors. They made some bulk procurement of those for their customers during that time. So one of the things that we are definitely going to do is go back and revisit those choices, especially with you know, Azure, the edge camera that was introduced, as well as some other device manufacturers who have started to certify them as well. So it won't drastically change their overall architecture, but some of the pieces of their architecture would have to be recertified based on the newer additional capabilities that exist now.
Awesome. And you said you're going to also have edge cameras, right? So the way the solution, if I understand it correctly, how you're making the parking smart is that by identifying any empty parking lots and reporting to the central cashier and making sure the time is tracked. Is that primarily the use case for this, or are there more components that I'm missing?
Yeah, so one of the things that this use case tackles is the crux of this was to essentially attract a commuter to park at their parking spots, right? And essentially monetize spots which, you know, typically are not monetized. They have a good history of regular customers and regular customers who would visit there. So they introduce a traffic board or a signboard, which essentially acts like a advertisement. And depending on their space availability, they'll start offering discounts. They'll push a notification on the app. They'll also integrate with the city if the city allows them. But they will essentially monitor, this camera will monitor empty spaces. It will report back to a gateway. The gateway will have an algorithm to decide on the pricing and offer that differential pricing. Mm-hmm. It also does OCR detection. And That's the other thing I'll say, OCR was pretty, 2 years ago, it was good, but now we have actually made it really good, right? So that's one of the areas that I'm actually going back to my customer and kind of seeing if we could redesign the OCR elements. But anyways, the OCR detects the number plates and they categorize each car, which is coming in the parking lot, by routine customers, infrequent customers, as well as a customer that they think that there is a pattern emerging. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things that they start doing with that edge camera as well.
Wow, that's awesome. I mean, I can already see a lot of use cases for the license plate reading technology that you mentioned. That's really, really cool. I mean, I always envy your job profile, because the kind of work that you do is really, really cool. So having said that, right, AJ, so if you had to give advice to somebody who's just starting off in the Azure solution architecture space or just in any solution architecture, right, job role, what would be your advice to them?
I think my advice, and one of the things I actually had a pitfall into my thinking when I joined Microsoft, is that, you know, I typically categorize myself as a pillared solution category subject matter expert. By that, what I mean is I came from the middleware space in Oracle, right? Prior to that, I was in a middleware space in a telecom domain, and I tried to focus on app dev or some of the services, and then I tried to just focus on that. The world doesn't function like that, right? Even though you have a focus area, the world doesn't really function like that, especially in my world. I do not hear challenges with products and solutions. I hear industry problems, right? So I think you just have to stop wearing that hat of, hey, whether I'm in apps and infra or data and AI. I think that, everybody has to be generalist across the board without pinning them down into a specific subset. They should definitely have an expertise, a hip pocket skill for sure. But that's one of the things I focused when I joined Microsoft. It did not really go very well, but now I just call myself as a problem solver and not really a data and AI solutions architect or an infrastructure architect.
Nice. I like that, problem solver. That's very interesting. Yeah, so if I from your perspective, that's a very interesting perspective to look at it, right? Because most of the people that I talk to, they think that, hey, I'm like you said, I'm an apps and infra, or I'm a data and AI, there's an artificial intelligence specialist, etc. But to your point, I think it really helps, especially not just in one particular domain. I think in every domain, when you have a common set, a level 100 across the board, and then you have like a T in depth of one particular piece of technology. I think
that, pocket skill. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really, really helpful. That's awesome. And how do you keep up with all the changes that's happening in the cloud world, right? Like you mentioned that you need to have a breadth across different, areas as well, like apps, infra, data, AI. How do you keep up with all the changes that's happening in the cloud world, and how do you keep up with the changes that's happening in your specialty? Do you have a hack? Do you have a routine? What do you do?
So I wish I had a good answer, because it keeps changing. Every single time I figure out that, hey, this is working for me, a better way starts coming along, and then I adopt to a new thing. I still don't think I've figured it out, but I'm a very audio-visual guy, so I'm definitely You'll find me in on YouTube channels and all the Ignite, whatever has a video element to it. And I do a lot of traveling as well. So I'm generally, catching up on a lot of announcements during my travel. Download a lot of videos offline and catch up. I have some channels which I typically follow. I really like some of the Microsoft folks have actually taken to video blogging. They do a fantastic job. Microsoft Mechanics is one of my favorite recently, as well as some of the, as soon as an event is done, I have a lot of bookmarks from that event, and I'll catch up as soon as I can. From a day-to-day announcement, that's one of the areas where I tend to go back into blogs because not every announcement is kind of captured.
Awesome. So do you have recommendation? I know you said Azure Mechanics is one of the video YouTube channels that you follow. And personally, I love Azure Mechanics and Azure Friday as well. Do you have anything else that you have from a playlist perspective that you sort of go back
One of
to?
the Microsoft Fast Track engineers, Dean Safola, has actually created his own YouTube channel, which I have found it very useful.
Nice.
It's actually Azure Academy on YouTube, and Azure Academy has essentially playlists, which are guided learning paths on different infrastructures focused material and content. And I know he's doing a lot with governance, so I've been following that. As soon as there's a new episode that Dean releases, I'll catch up with that. And I do a lot of Channel 9 as well,
Nice, nice.
internally.
Awesome. So in your role, right? So how would you define a good day for you as a cloud solution architect, and what would you define as a bad day?
Well, a good day essentially is any ISV partner customer making a true business impact and not really designing a solution, but actually making a true business impact, which is more tangible. We seem to get quite a bit of those these days, which is always helpful when you actually see technology being used. In a good day would be something that we can actually demonstrate that there was a tangible improvement in somebody's life, especially in our world, Anand. We is from state and local government, right? We actually tend to see the benefit of our work in the local government and cities, especially one of our ISV partners who actually implement something. We can actually see that live, right? Especially in my world, smart city, you can actually go there and see it. So success would be something that we could bring back into our technology centers. We've been doing quite a bit of work on highlighting and bringing those solutions back into Microsoft so we can demonstrate the impact of that. So that'll be something that we could and I'm personally very proud of.
Awesome. And then what would be a bad day?
Customer shouting, anybody's nightmare.
Got it. Yep. That's common. I think. Yeah. Most of them. I agree with that. Awesome. So, AJ, if people had to find you online, I'm going to, link up your LinkedIn profile in the show notes for this episode, and I'll also link the Azure YouTube channels that you mentioned, Azure Academy, and Azure Mechanics. But apart from that, if people had to get in touch with you, what's the best way? Is LinkedIn the best way? Do you have a Twitter handle? What would be the best way to get in touch with you?
I'm actually not very active on Twitter. I just follow, but I'm not super active. So LinkedIn would be the best way. I am starting to get a blog, industry blog, where I will be posting details around actual customer case studies, like I mentioned, where we
Awesome.
are seeing some actual success. I have not officially gotten it yet. I'm in the process of, so once I get it, I'll supply it to you.
Awesome. I can't wait to read those blogs. Looking forward. All right, dude, thank you so much for being on the show. Really appreciate your time.
No, likewise. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.